Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio Advocacy and Gospel News for the Persecuted Church. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. Warn Radio Advocacy Broadcast for the Persecuted Church is a fast-moving gospel news program. And all correspondence and inquiries of broadcasts of the WIBR Warn Radio Network can be sent to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. Today is Wednesday, the 30th day of October, 2019. And the scripture reading for this week is Genesis chapter 6, verses 9 through chapter 11, verse 32. Isaiah 54, verses 1 through chapter 55, verse 5. And the New Testament portion is 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 22. Be sure to follow the WIBR Warn Radio on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and on Twitter. On Twitter, look for hashtag WatchmanIS216, hashtag Warn Radio, and you can listen to all our shows on warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. Warn Radio is on Blog Talk as Warn Radio Visions. You can also find us on Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes 1 and 2, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Warn Radio on Acast, on Facebook, Google Play Music, and many others. Take time to read the pertinent articles by The Watchman. They're really informative and pertain to the day and age we're living in. And you can go to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com to read these articles, and please pass them on to your friends and relatives. This week we feature The Son of God, Kingdom Served, Kingdom Come. The Son of God suffered without the camp on Golgotha. Today that same Son of God reigns. He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. For those who are called, we are reminded that if we neglect so great a salvation, how shall we escape? The world shall pass away, and all that therein is, to which shall you aspire? And also, America, shadows of misdirection. In America, we find this has been pushed to take your attention from the real issues at hand. The nation is being brought to the brink, will be the case for either remaking America or restoring this great erstwhile nation. It is a battle where America is caught in these shadows of misdirection. And you can read those and more posts on Dana Glenn Smith or warn-usa.com. And now I invite the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn. Greetings.
Greetings. How are you doing tonight, Dana?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm glad to be here on a cold, frosty night.
Yeah, well, that's definitely what it is. We've had a lot of snow and a lot of cold. And things like that there. At any rate, we are here on a Wednesday doing the advocacy for the persecuted church. A lot of a lot of things up front that we're talking about. But first of all, we're going to be in November, and then, of course, December is not too far away. And we'll roll through these 2 months, and then we'll be in January, which is a fairly long month. Then February is a short month. Then we'll be in March, which will bring in a pre-spring. So we're already through winter. See how easy that is? Just like that. So at any rate, around here, we do have a winter, and it is cold. But today, it got a balmy 30 degrees on our porch today. Sunny skies, wind was blowing, though. So at any rate, what's on your agenda, Tower? I can't hear you, so I'll move on here. So at any rate, we are going to be talking. Now, of course, you know, one of the first things that I was going to kind of touch on, International Christian Concern and a lot of others touched on Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. Baghdadi was killed. Of course, the liberals, the Democrats went nuts. Of course, they're not going to give Trump the credit for anything.
Oh, no. No.
But the thing of it is that this guy has a lot of blood on his hands. This guy is going to be roasting in Sheol. And a lot of those who followed him will be the same. Now, in the Kurdish camps, they were where they were keeping ISIS members. They still have quite a population of Kurds there. Not Kurds, but ISIS fighters. And these fighters, a lot of them, there was a little article on it talking about them that they refused to believe that Baghdadi was killed. But not only was Baghdadi killed, but his second in line was also killed, who was going to take over. So the bottom line of it is that scripture rings true. If you kill with the sword, you're going to die with the sword. They hunted down bin Laden, but apparently with Baghdadi, somehow his head got... They ID'd him from his head, which had been detached from his body because of the blast that he did. So
he detonated. He killed him. He killed himself.
And so, at any rate, whether you loved him or hate him, the reward is going to be given out by a just Lord, and everybody will know it on the day of judgment. And that's just the way it is. I don't rejoice in the death of the wicked, but in the same token, somebody that has blood on their hands, they will pay the price. And that's it. There's no sorrow. You pay the price for what you did. You're responsible. And you're going to regret it.
It reminds me of Psalm 37:35. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. And I can't remember the name of the girl that they named this after. This going after Baghdadi, they named it after a gal that he had kidnapped from Doctors on the Borders.
Yeah, I remember that.
Baghdadi was supposed to have raped her and tortured her several times, you know, and so her death has been just revenged. God has avenged her death.
Well,
that's the way I see it.
Your mic seems to be breaking up from my standpoint over here.
I know. I'm trying to get better reception on my phone, but I don't know what to do.
Well, why don't you try calling in, and I'm going to be doing this one.
Okay.
But go ahead.
Let me try and call in again.
Yeah. At any rate, you know, the thing of it is, when we do talk about this, you know, we covered ISIS going through the Middle East 2014, 2015, when it was the worst. And they had been moving through Syria, took an army base or an air base from the Syrians, and they went up to Kobani and failed there, and in fact got defeated. And so then they went into Iraq, and of course there was slaughter in there. The Iraqi army fled, their uniforms left in the desert. And all of the tanks and everything were left there too. It was a slaughter that pursued all the way to where the Yazidis were, which proceeded to be a genocide, and there were Christians. Where we're talking a lot, and ISIS effectively removed the churches. Killed everybody they could kill, including Muslims, by the way. So, you know, you did your deed, and Baghdadi, you're going to suffer for it. And so will those who committed it. So at any rate, Tower, we've done reports from the Mideast, Bibles for the Mideast before.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Is it clear? Because my phone is still, you're cutting in and out.
Yeah, well, it could be. I don't see any, the internet and stuff hadn't had any problems. So it could be just the system from Blog Talk. Usually it's pretty clear, but you do sound a little bit better. But in the latest report, 94 former Muslims were baptized in the Arabian Sea. They had a ceremony. We constantly see groups of former Muslims who became Christians getting baptized. And it's one of those signs that we're glad to see. People coming out of darkness, coming to the Lord.
Yes, and, it's exciting.
And they had fasted and prayed for 3 days, 72 hours, no food or drink.
Wow.
And they had expats. And at one time, I considered being an expat. We were looking at going to Costa Rica at the time. We never made it to Costa Rica, but there was expats over there, and they were also evangelical Christians who drove them to the Arabian Sea. It was a secret baptism. And because it has to be, we've reported on miracles when there was another baptism and a bunch of Muslims showed up to kill all the people there. It didn't work out well for the Muslims because the Lord showed up. There was a magnificent sandstorm. He appeared to these Muslims. Matter of fact, as a result of it, many of these Muslims came to the Lord. that is the ones who were trying to kill the Muslims who had become Christians. A mighty miracle, and we see this all the time, quite a bit. Now, this one here, the sea was really rough, and if you've ever been around the ocean, if the waves get too high, you can have a hard time trying to get baptized and making it through. But it was so bad that they were concerned about it. So everybody joined hands with the pastors and prayed. And as soon as they got done, they said that the sea calmed, the waves completely stopped, and the people looked up, and it seemed to be an unusual illumination coming from the sky at the same time. And so they started praising the Lord as a result of it. And the Spirit of God moved, and they went into the water, and they all got baptized. They finished their prayers. And as soon as they got done, the waves, which were described as being giant, began to swell and crash again. And the light that had been there also disappeared. They called it a glow. And so all the believers were happy and full of joy when we saw that. And, I believe these reports.
I do too.
And, I mean, you can do whatever you want to. If you want to be in unbelief, I mean, help yourself.
We get these kind of stories from more than just one place and one.
Yeah.
Different news organizations, they're coming from different ones. They're dramatic.
They are. They are dramatic, and that's encouraging. I mean, not only for them, but for us. And, without question, though, where we see the miracles is exactly where we see the most persecution. And
that's right.
There is some scripture in John 14, and the Lord is talking about, he's getting ready to introduce you to the 15th chapter, which is the abiding chapter. And John 14, it's really interesting when you think about it. And I'm finding it right now. In John 14:21, now you think about this. He that has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now, you think about that. In verse 18 of that same section, it says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. And so what we find here is a Lord that's promising that if you will keep my commandments, walk in those things that I command you to do, then it shows that you love me. And those who love me will be loved of my Father, and I will love him. And I will manifest myself to them. Well, when you think about these pastors fasting and praying, no food and water for 3 days, going to be baptized in a dangerous nation where if they are caught by other Muslims, there's laws against converting and they can face the death penalty. So the Lord manifests himself, and there are miracles and signs and wonders. That's part of the manifestation. So that comes out of John 14. And you can read the sections, verses 18 through 21. But don't forget chapter 15. I mean, these are pertinent scriptures. When you really push comes to shove, God will manifest himself. We live in a secular nation. We have our churches. And online, we meet a lot of young people who are liberal, who are socialist, who like the communist socialist type attraction. who also have been taught a lot of hedonistic ways, who borderline not really believing in God. But on the other hand, we have a bunch of young people, and even like, who is it? Kanye West, is that the one that came to the Lord?
I think it's Kanye West.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been having big meetings for the Lord. And so we do see God moving in these last days. So while we talk about persecution of Christians, which goes on, we can't forget that God is manifesting himself, and he promised to manifest himself to his people. I think that's important today.
Amen. Yes, it is.
And so, you know, another thing that I liked too, and Tower, I don't know if I told you this, and that was with Evangelist Alveda King, Martin Luther King's, is it his niece
granddaughter?
Or his granddaughter?
I don't know. I thought it was his granddaughter, but maybe his niece. I'm not sure. She's related anyway.
But at any rate, you know, she was talking about the fact that President Trump got so hammered over the word lynching, because all of the Democrats, especially the white ones and the black ones and the colored ones, all want to convict, you know, the whiteness of America. I mean, this is what they do. Technically speaking, as I've pointed out, Caucasians are not white. Matter of fact, if you look at their skin, they are more tan than they are white. And I challenge you to prove me wrong, unless, of course, they happen to be an albino white. That is white. So it's time for those who try to use all this racist load of bunk and feed on their own bunk for a while. But Alveda King has been a staunch supporter of President Trump. He has a lot of blacks who have really publicly come out to defend him and join him because of what he's done for the black community and their jobs. And it's not just them, but a lot of minority groups also are reporting high employment, and they really like what he's done. And she said President Trump is draining the swamp. He said he would. President Trump is keeping America great. He promised. His frenemies are not happy. They will do anything to block and stop his trajectory, even lynching. And she goes on to say a lynching is carried out by a lawless mob of people determined to kill and or destroy someone for an alleged offense with or without a legal trial. And no, lynching is not an exclusive African-American blight. Lynching has been going on throughout history, and lynching is not a sacred cow reserved for the lamentations of descendants of black slaves in America. Now, that's a perfect point. You know, how many times do we hear these blacks trying to go back to this? And most of the blacks who want reparations today, you know, these people had nothing to do with slavery at all. Matter of fact, there wasn't as many blacks as there was back then, you know. And I forgot the exact number, but the number of blacks that want reparation are way beyond the blacks that were here at the time. And she says President Trump is telling the truth. His enemies are on a witch hunt and a lynch hunt. Are we woke yet? In America today, she says, the womb lynching, the killing of innocent babies in the womb, is legal. Apparently, lynching a sitting U.S. president is always legal. Now, that's one of the best points I think she makes. You and I talk about the killing of innocent babies all the time.
Oh, I hate it. It's horrible. It's unconscionable and how they can do that.
One side note here, you know that the ACLJ has taken on Planned Parenthood, and it's in a court case, major
right.
court case right now, and they've been having startling testimony. One of the testimonies that got uncovered was that of a woman doctor who had been performing abortions, and she was caught on tape saying that and I forgot what kind of a car she wanted, a real fast car instead of cash.
Lamborghini.
Yeah, instead of cash for aborting a baby, getting the parts. Other testimony came out and said that they had found a way. This comes from their testimony via the ACLJ that they had found a way to get away from looking like the baby was alive when they took it by crushing it. And they can save the heart and the liver, and then they crush it, and you never know. But they save the important parts to sell.
Well, that makes me sick to my stomach.
Yeah. Well,
oh, dear God.
And see, we're so hedonistic that we have scores of women that stand up for this and say, yeah, it's okay. But yet we've got a lot of women also that stand up and say, no, it's not all right.
Yeah, thank God.
So I really commend Alveda King for standing up for not only Trump, but against this, womb lynching, as she calls it. She says, what isn't legal or moral is hiding behind the cloak of race baiting while the clumsy, bogus, fraudulent attempt at impeachment of POTUS is the goal. Meanwhile, POTUS is fighting for America. His frequent affirmation that we all bleed the same lines up with the truth of us being one blood, one human race. And she quotes her friend, Dr. Day Gardner at the National Black Profile Union, who says, without reason, without cause, and more specifically, without a crime, they seek to destroy our president and kill the presidency of Donald J. Trump. They are an angry, jealous, lawless mob, and we simply cannot allow Democrats, media, and others to turn every conversation or tweet into a conversation about race. President Trump
That's
has
right.
the uncanny ability to tell it like it is. While that ability fires up supporters like me, it scares the swamp to death. When it comes to the constant attacks by zombie-like media who are in lockstep with the Democrats and the impeachment probe, I must agree, President Trump is right. America is witnessing a lynching, albeit a very public political one. And she goes on to close, many of the same people condemning President Trump for his use of the word lynching use the same word when discussing the impeachment of President Clinton in 1998. So, you know, there's a lot of problems going on in the world, and in America we have our share. And it's undeniable that within this it is such a mess. And, you know, the bottom line of it is I was listening to the ACLJ today talk about the fact that Pelosi was finally going to make a declaration to make things fair and square and for the rights of Trump. And, you know, and for those they have testified. But the problem of it is because of the way the Democrats have done their secret impeachment process, because it's not an impeachment. Once you testify, you're not guaranteed any free rights. You've already given it up. Any freedom and any protections under law using a lawyer, you know what I mean? You have to have the lawyer present. And there's been no lawyer, nobody present to know what these people are saying, no protections for anybody. And yet the Democrats are so foolish, they don't even understand it. So they were trying to make this. And of course, the ACLJ is talking about this, how much of a travesty it continues to be. You know, you're promising equal rights after you've already done the process and interviewed tons of people, many of whom nobody knows what they said, when they said it, how they said it. And the Republicans can't say anything, can't interviewing. And the most important thing is President Trump has not been able to cross-examine or face his accusers, not once. And in the stuff that I've uncovered from legitimate scholars and people and judges and stuff, scholars of the law, is that this whole thing, there is nothing there. It's false. And even Greg Jarrett of Fox News came out and said that. So it's just bogus all the way around. But the bottom line of it is that as we look at all this, you know, if the left succeeds in destroying America and making it socialist, you can guarantee that the humanitarian groups, the Christian outreaches and everything are going to stop. That the ability of America to really help the world like we have done and send missionaries and send humanitarian organizations overseas is going to be nil compared to what we have in the past. If they succeed in what they're doing, then this nation will officially be termed into a has-been state. And we are approaching that fact right now because we have a number of people, a percentage that actually want this change. And I've dealt with people that absolutely condemn Trump just because they've heard it on CNN, NBC, ABC. And they will say, well, sure, he's guilty. How do you know he's guilty? Well, because Joe Scarborough and some of these other knuckleheads, you know, that's my word, have said it. And so they believe him, and they're out and out wrong.
Yeah, and because I don't like him and I believe what these guys say, he's guilty. That's
exactly
the way it is.
No proof. No proof at all. No chance of rebuttal, no lawyer in the room, no nothing. Convinced. That's the lynching. And the term was proper, whether you like Trump or not.
You know, you can see the division in America. It's black and white. You either like the president or you don't. There's no in between. There's no gray areas. That's what I see anyway. That's in my opinion.
Well, I think you're right. Over in Indonesia, we have a woman who is going to be tried for blasphemy. She has a serious mental illness. She faces up to 5 years. Now, we've seen this kind of thing before. The Muslims are famous for that. There was a Pakistani man. He was a Christian, and he had a mental illness, and they locked him up, too. And I think they did get him released. I read the stories that he did get released by them. But he had spent some time in jail. This woman wore sandals and brought her dog into a mosque. And, of course, that is absolutely offensive because dogs are unclean. And so she brought it into the mosque. And, of course, a video that was taken with her going in there went viral. And, of course, she was arguing with the mosque caretakers. And she was going in there demanding to know about her ex-husband who was going to marry another woman in the mosque later that day. But at any rate, her family says she suffered from mental illness, and it was confirmed by the police after a psychiatric examination. And she suffered from schizophrenia and underwent psychiatric treatment. Didn't complete the therapy, so her father says that his daughter has had this mental illness since she was young. She got bullied because of that, and after she finished her postgraduate degree, she actually received a scholarship to go to Australia, but due to her mental disorder, we were concerned it did not want her to let her go by herself. She was arrested in June and faced trial. It was closed to the public. And she can be put in jail for 5 years. And right now, it's been 3 months. She suffers from depression, and this thing is not over yet. But this, again, shows you the blasphemy law. And this is in Indonesia. Now, the one place that we've been reporting on it along is in Pakistan. And Asiya Bibi, if you remember, a very well-known case. We covered her for a long time until she was finally released. She was in prison, what, Tower, 9 years?
I believe so.
So at any rate, these are the kind of things that's going over there. You know, I mean, what this woman needed is someone to cast this oppressive demon out of her. And you say, well, she's a Christian. She can't have that. Well, we don't know what, you know, there is a lot of church Christians in the world, people that just are Christian because their whole family was Christians, and they could easily have a spirit that has given her this type of thing. And so
she definitely needs the Lord's intervention. And, you know, this is how I think wicked the Muslims are. They have no compassion towards anybody. This woman should have compassion.
Well, she should.
They should have compassion towards her and try to help her, but they don't.
Well, when we talk about Muslims and compassion, you know, we have reported on Muslims who have stepped up to save Christians. And we also reported, and this was during ISIS going through the Middle East the way it did, there were Muslims who were so impressed with the way the Christians were handling themselves as opposed to the Muslims who were killing Christians that they actually became Christians themselves. We have seen those kind of things. So this gives you a little bit of an idea on what is in what we call the real world. And right now, Tower has got details on an American pastor, the latest in being arrested and detained. Are you ready on that one?
Yes, this story comes to us from International Christian Concern. It's American pastor Brian Niren, and he's from Tennessee, and he's been arrested and detained in India after being accused of violating the country's Foreign Exchange Management Act. And that act is nothing more than stopping funds for use for Christians and Christian organizations and meetings and stuff. And according to ACLJ, the American Center for Law and Justice, Pastor Niren and two other pastors from Tennessee arrived in India on October 5th to attend two conferences in India and Nepal. And Pastor Niren was then targeted and arrested by Indian customs agents after he told them he was a Christian. After the three pastors arrived in New Delhi, Pastor Niren was detained by custom agents while proceeding through the domestic security check for a flight to Bagdogra. According to the ACLJ, the pastor was carrying funds to cover the expenses for the two conferences, as well as a two-week trip for himself and the other pastors. And custom agents questioned him about the funds and their usage for an hour. And after according to the report, Pastor Niren had been traveling to India and Nepal for the past 17 years to train people to become Sunday school teachers. And ACLJ says custom agents specifically asked Pastor Niren if he was a Christian and if the funds would be used to support Christian causes. After fully explaining what the funds were to be used for, the custom agents told Pastor Niren he was free to go. However, when he arrived in Bagdogra, he was arrested and transported to Siliguri, where he was incarcerated for 6 days and denied any visitors, including those from the U.S. consulate. His passport has been seized, and he's not allowed to leave the country. He had a court date scheduled for October 22nd, but it did not take place. And now another court date has been set for December 12th. And he's effectively trapped in Siliguri. We need to remember to pray for him. It doesn't mention the other two pastors. I'm assuming they were able to come back to America. We need to remember Pastor Brian Nearon.
Well, he was the one carrying situation. He was the one carrying the money, and I do have a little bit of this in the article that I wrote today, and I should be able to get this published by tomorrow. So always go on over to warren-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com, and you'll be able to find some of the latest in-depth articles. So be sure to check all those out, and hopefully we can get this other article. It's in-depth about a lot of stuff. Now, one place we haven't talked about much is Algeria. You know, Algeria is one of those places on the tip of Africa, if I remember right. And I haven't gotten much out of there. But some of the country's largest churches are being sealed. Now, the police were actually ejecting Christians out of their churches, and the police told them that they want to make sure that they close these churches to stop the Christians from having church. Well, see, this is the problem we have in the world, and it's a good problem because, see, the real truth of this is that Christians are the ecclesia. The temple of God is within them. We have a building to worship in, or you have a meeting in a home in the name of Christ, and that's where you meet. But the kingdom of God is within us, the Lord says. And around the world, people are in jail and haven't been in a Christian church for years and years and years because they've been in prison. We have others, even the apostles in the book of Acts, they were meeting by the river. At one time, they were even meeting near the, especially if they were Gentiles, they were meeting near the temples, the synagogues in various cities. But when persecution arose, they started going other places. And of course, they didn't have any kind of a building. So having really a building is part of our modern Christian church organization that's been that way for a long time, eons, you could say, you know, 1,000 years, 1,500 years, something, you know. But the bottom line of it is that close the churches, let the people go in their homes and worship the Lord. I mean, in India, I mean, in China, when the Chinese communists went in, all the American missionaries left, and nobody knew if the Christian church was even alive. But guess what? It was alive. And then it became to be opened later on after Nixon. And what we found was a huge amount of Christians. And then all of a sudden, there got to be such a big group of Christians, the communists became worried, and now they're cracking down, closing the churches again. I got news for you. Closing a church is not going to stop the kingdom of God. I mean, it's time that we as believers understand that. We don't, you know, as far as the secularists, they can go ahead and continue to believe it. That'll do us good. God will send them a delusion. You know, the Lord knows how to keep his people protected. But at any rate, you know, and I can understand that in China, when they were trying to break down some of these big Chinese churches that had been built during the open period in China, the Christians were actually begging the officials not to tear their church down, begging them, the news report said. And I don't condemn these Christians for that, but that's what they've been taught. That's where they met. They could be together. But see, the bottom line of it is this is how the devil works. And so these people are happy when they're doing this. But you ain't going to stop it. You ain't going to stop the growth of the church. And in Algeria, that's what they're doing. They're closing the churches, going through them. In this report alone, there's three churches that were closed. There was this one building, and I'm not going to tell you his name because I can't. Transliteration, it's hard to figure out how. But at any rate, 150 people met in his congregation, and the police summoned him. And then they took him to the church site, and a dozen officers were going to seal the door. And he wanted to look for the keys and recover a few items, and the guy gave him a half hour, and if you're not back, we'll go into action. So he collected the items, he got back, collected, and they closed it. And of course, we see this in a lot of areas. And so it's, of course, these Christians are really, really torn up. And we have to understand that because this is what they've been taught. And there's another church, the Apeto Church, and it has 700 members, Tower. 700.
Wow.
And they have another 300 members in 7 to 11 smaller churches. This is in Algeria.
That's amazing. Thank God.
Yeah, I didn't realize they had that many. You know, I mean, this is amazing.
I know.
So we need to pray for Algeria that they will fail in this. Of course, the Chinese started moving when the news reports got out that there were more Christians in China than communist members. So, I've seen it and I've reported on this, that much of the persecution we've seen, people are running scared. They are afraid of Christianity. They're afraid of its growth.
That's right.
They don't understand how Muslims and others suddenly just turn to Christianity. They don't understand where the miracles come from. They don't understand how these people can change so much. We understand because it's a spiritual battle, and the rest of them are in darkness. And in America, you are facing spiritual darkness on the magnitude that this country has never seen. Right now, the devil is working to destroy what Christian foundation we have. But I'm here to tell you, and in my article I wrote, it's important you read it. I talk about the fact that we are not beaten yet, that this country is not destroyed yet. And as long as we have breath, we have a way to turn this thing around. And as far as Trump being impeached, I don't believe it's going to happen. But there's a lot of things that could happen to him, and that's why he needs your prayer shield over him.
Amen. That's right.
And the Christians in Algeria, they say it's been 23 years that we've existed in plain view. Why wait until today to do so? Well, I can tell them, because God has been moving, and you have a lot of people that have become Christians, and the authorities are worried that if they don't do something, they're going to have more Christians than Muslims. Figure that out. Now, what do we think about in America? We think one day, at the rate it's going, we're going to have less Christians than we do anybody else in this country. I was on a particular site today and made a comment. After a while, some of the leftists showed up, and the first thing they said, "Now we know who you are. You're one of those who believe that God speaks to you." Well, I didn't even write anything about that. I was totally political, giving them various links, but that's what they got out of that. You know, I didn't tell them what I was. But it doesn't matter. I don't care. But I don't spend time arguing in comments. I very rarely do. But this had to do with one of our representatives here who needed to be told a couple of things and some links. And I gave her links to the news stories of people like Sebastian Gorka and others who really knew about these things. But you know, there's a whole group out there you can't even talk to. And there's people called Antifa on the street that you can't talk to. They're full of violence. So this is where this country is headed. And if the devil succeeds in this division, you know, the Lord said, a house divided will not fall. So
will not stand. A house divided will not stand.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Will not stand. And so, you know, the bottom line of it is that, you know, we tell people, and I'm going to tell you today, be sure to help. You want to pray for the persecuted church, especially those in prison. You want to give to organizations like Samaritan's Purse, like the ICC, persecution.com. We've got a whole list of them. So if you don't know who to give to, contact us on our contact page, and I'll give you a list of few that you can pick out. That's the bottom line. But support ministries that support the persecuted brethren. Because I can tell you, in America, if they succeed, you're going to want to look around for help for somebody. And
that's
at the rate
right.
it's going now, there may not be anybody that even cares that America falls. But it will be detrimental, because there are a lot of Christians and Christian organizations that help out overseas. There are people that are thanking God today because of Christian ministries who have helped them. So make no mistake, Christianity has made a major impact in this world and in America, sending out missionaries, and our humanitarian services that we have has been second to none in this world. Second to none. Period. Because God blessed this country, and we had preachers that were on fire, that preached the gospel. There was the fear of God. You may not like the fear of God. You may not like the gospel being preached, but that's what needs to happen. We need the salt back. We need the church to be the salt again. So it's time to stand up, church. It's time to stand up and find out where you're willing to stand. Because if you think you have it tough now, I got news for you. You put your feet in the shoes of these people that we've been reporting on. How about Asiya Bibi, who did absolutely nothing? A young mother, she had a husband and a young family, and she was thrown in prison for 9 years for something she didn't do. She faced a death penalty. God delivered her. Now she's living free with her family. This is what happens. The devil's on the rampage. But I'll tell you, the beast isn't here yet. The great tribulation isn't here yet. And we can still affect change in this world and in our nation. So don't be a slough about it. Stand up. Do something. Pray. And give to the persecuted church, and give to those ministries that are helping them out. Now, that's a commercial, and I didn't even had nothing to do with us. We do have another reading one, but that's 5 minutes. Can you do that one in 5 minutes?
Well, I want to do this one on Burkina Faso. This is about the militants attacking the village of San Matinga province. In San Matinga province, this Gabriel was at the market. He has a stall in the market, and he was selling produce. And suddenly a gunshot rang out in the marketplace, and everyone ran in all directions. He wanted to go home, but the gunmen were heading that way, and he couldn't get through. So he fled away to a different route. And he later returned to an empty house. His wife and children and many in the village had gone. And he learned the next morning from neighbors, as he hastily prepared to leave too, that one man had been killed and others badly injured in the attack. The militants had warned that they would be back in 72 hours to kill anyone who did not leave the village, especially the Christians. So he was just frantic and didn't know where to turn. And he spent a week without any news of his family and children, and desperately searching from village to village. Then he heard from a pastor that they were in the city of Caia. And that's where many of the others had fled for refuge. And when he joined them, he was overwhelmed to find other Christians there who from far away who were taking care of his family, their Barnabas supporters. And with tears in his eyes, he said, "You gave us clothes, shelter, and food. Christians we don't know are sending us some very various help. This is strengthening our faith and giving us a sense of the real body of Christ. Wherever they are, may the Lord bless them and rescue them in difficult times as they did for us." And so the fighting in Burkina Faso goes on. At least 97 Christians have died in 12 attacks since April 28th. And the city of Caia alone is now hosting 82 pastors and almost 1,200 Christians from 151 households that have been displaced from various places of the north. So please remember to pray for all these people in Burkina Faso. This is just tragic that this stuff is going on.
It is tragic.
In many cases, the men have been killed, leaving widows and fatherless children without a protector or a provider. This is
that leaves them wide open.
Yes.
Yes. Very true. So remember those stories today and pray for the individuals, Muslims that are coming to Christ. Pray for the issues that Evangelist Alveda King mentioned. Pray for Indonesia and those who are facing persecution. Pray for this American pastor that is still detained in India. Pray for the churches and the Christians in Algeria, and pray also for those in Burkina Faso. And of course, folks, we cover this every week, and literally there is so much chaos. The world is in chaos. The world is in conflict, and it's in conflict because there's a mad devil and then there's a gracious God. And you know, people have to choose. So be sure to pray, fast, and seek his face. And pray for the brethren around the world. And pray for your brethren here in America as well and in the Western nations. So with that, we're going to have to get out of here, Tower.
Okay, good night, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We surely appreciate it. We love you. We pray for you. May God richly bless you in all you do for him. Good night, everybody.
Well, we're glad you joined us. And another broadcast is over. So be sure to go by warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. Read the articles. And share them. Listen to the shows and share them. We are on a lot of different places where this is going through. There's a lot of apps you can listen to us on. If you don't know what they are, go to our website. We have a lot of this stuff listed. If you don't see it, contact us on our contact page. This is The Watchman. Shalom, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this episode of
The Warn Radio.